It's The Download with Justin Kaufman, normally here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala filling in for Justin here on Memorial Day. Joined in studio right now with Debbie Graber. We're just meeting each other. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
How are you, Matt?
I'm wonderful. Debbie's new book, Kevin Kramer, starts on Monday. Is available now everywhere?
Yes. Yes, it should be. It's available on Amazon,
on
for
Amazon,
sure.
Amazon, probably on BarnesandNoble.com,
yes.
other fine internet retailers.
Exactly.
Do bookstores carry books anymore?
That is a very good question.
Are there bookstores anymore?
There are a lot fewer bookstores,
yes,
aren't
there?
Yes,
there are. Yes, there are.
There really
yes, there are.
Are.
There's still a Barnes & Noble in West Dundee where I live.
Ah,
I thank God for it every day. And
that's
then
wonderful.
There's Books-A-Million or different sort of independent resale
right.
places seem to be popping up now. But,
right.
But you don't find a lot of the bookstores anymore.
No, you don't. You know, there is an independent bookstore here in Chicago called City Lit Books.
Okay.
Which is where I'm doing a little reading tomorrow.
Oh, really? Where's that at, Debbie?
Well, let me just pull out my Post-it note and tell you that it is at 2523 North Kedzie Avenue in beautiful Logan Square.
2523 North Kedzie in Logan Square at City Lit Books.
That's correct.
And what time would you be there tomorrow?
I will be there at 6:30.
At 6:30. What a wonderful. You get off of work, you head over.
Exactly.
Will there be cocktails?
I could bring some cocktails.
Could you bring a couple cocktails, maybe?
I could try to do that.
Okay,
sure.
Let's do that. Sure. Let's bring it in a disgusting little commuter mug.
That's the only kind of commuter mug I have.
Do you have a commuter mug like that? Were you writing from experience and Kevin Kramer starts on Monday?
You know, I was writing from experience, from my, you know, years of working in an office and kind of corporate environment.
Okay.
And so there always is the one person or more than one person who
right.
has just the habits that, you know, they're just not that.
Quite standard societal norms.
Exactly. They're kind of on the, you know, downward scale of that. So, you know, there is always somebody with a really gross commuter mug or,
yeah.
you know, crusty something or other.
So the book Kevin Kramer starts on Monday is a series of short stories.
Yes,
kind
it
of
is.
About office life. I kind of compared it to The Office and Office Space in that genre, in that realm.
Yes, there are. It's sort of a satirical take on that kind of office-y type thing.
The type of thing anybody who's worked in an office at some point in their life has probably encountered, you will find in this book.
I hope so. I mean, I hope it's relatively universal.
Yeah. So tell us about Debbie Graber. How did you end up writing this book? What do you do? You're from Chicago, but you don't live here now.
I don't. That is a disclaimer. I don't live here right
That's okay.
now.
That's okay. That's okay.
I do. I am from Glenview. I'm a Glenview native.
Okay.
And I lived in Chicago for 30 years. So I hope that's...
Working in offices or writing?
You know, a little bit of both.
You have to work in the offices until the writing can pay for itself, generally, right?
Yeah, which
that's
I'm still doing. So that hasn't happened quite yet. When I was in Chicago, I worked in an administrative capacity at the Second City.
Okay.
Fabulous Second City.
Met wonderful people, I'm sure.
Yes, fabulous people. And, but again, you know, always like creative adjacent, like
yeah.
not in the Second City,
yeah.
but, you know, in the administrative office. And then...
So would you be able to tell, yeah, I'm in Second City in the administrative office. Or how would you,
right.
how'd you throw that out at parties? I'm in Second City.
Like,
that's a big place with lots of people.
You
doing lots
that,
of things.
That upstairs part that caught
yeah,
on fire.
In the building.
That was where I used
because
to work.
Because I kept too many papers there underneath the desk. They didn't realize it.
Because they have to have accountants there too, you know.
Yeah.
They have to have people booking stuff like dinner theater packages.
It's not all just magic.
No. Believe it or not, it's not. So, yes. So I, but yes, I worked in a bunch of offices and I, you know. I got serious about writing about like 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I was living in L.A. I'm still living in L.A.
Okay.
And I started taking classes at UCLA Extension. But, you know, when I was in Chicago, I took classes just right around here at University of Chicago Extension.
To write?
Yes.
For writing?
Yes.
Because you know what? You had access to the Second City, and I think you should have maybe taken some classes there. Or are there not any writing things there?
Well.
Or were you like, well, can I? And they're like, no, you're going to have to go somewhere. We're sorry.
They were
you
like,
can account
I'm here. Sorry. You're really just not of the caliber of people.
We love having you around the office. However.
All right. You're doing a great job selling those dinner theater packages. But no, I actually did take improv classes at Second City, at
okay.
the Second City Training Center, which are great. If anybody's interested, I mean, they're fabulous. So
you take extension classes here.
Yes.
You move to LA, you take
yes.
classes there.
It's a lot of extension classes. And then I just got serious. I had a really good teacher at my extension, one of my extension classes in LA. And I got serious about writing short stories.
Okay.
And the great thing about short stories is that they're short. They're really short. And if you're me, they're really short.
Wow, that was easy.
I know.
That was really short. Look at that. I'm done.
Right. So you have like completion. You know, it's not like writing.
Not going to torture yourselves for 4 years.
Right. I mean, there are these people writing novels over like 10 years. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. So the short stories, you know, you write one short story and then you edit it and then you write another short story and then you edit it. And so I had been sending out my short stories. There's a variety of, you know, journals and things to places to send your short stories. So I did that for a while and I had some luck with some of them getting published. And then I put together a collection or so of like, 12 short stories, and I submitted it to this very prominent short story competition. If you're into short stories, you know about this stuff.
This is like America's Best Short Stories 2015, that one?
It's not that one, because I think you have to be, that one is harder to get into. This is called the Flannery O'Connor Short Story Prize. And that is, they do it every year, and it's a very, prestigious competition. And I was lucky enough to become a finalist like 2014.
Okay.
So then I thought, maybe I could try to sell this. And, long story short, I ended up meeting up with this wonderful independent publisher, Unnamed Press. They're based in Los Angeles. Okay. And they decided to publish the collection.
Now, did you have the whole collection when they decided? They say, hey, you got a couple of stories here. Why don't you write about 10 more and then we maybe have something?
No. Fortunately, it was all done. So there didn't have to be any come up with some other stuff. It was like, oh, God, okay, here it is. It's all. Here it is. Have fun. There it goes.
So it's a collection of short stories about the work. Are all of them? I've only gotten to read a couple.
Right.
Are they all workplace related?
Not all of them. It's kind of like half and half. There is, I'll say that there is kind of a thematic element in that all of the characters do have sort of uninspiring day jobs.
Right.
Some of them work in offices. Some of them have other, ways of getting paid. One guy is a, have you ever been to L.A.? You've been to L.A.
Yes, I lived in Los Angeles for a couple of years.
That's right. I read that. So I'm sure, about on Hollywood Boulevard, they have the people dressed up.
Of course.
So I have a character in one of my stories who dresses up in a Chewbacca outfit.
Okay.
So that's kind of like, he's got a lot of other problems, but that's one of them. it's kind of like, I would say it's a little bit like half and half, but everybody is a little bit not living up to their potential.
We're speaking with Debbie Graber. Her book is Kevin Kramer Starts on Monday. It's a collection of short stories. It is very funny. She's appearing tomorrow at City Lit Books, 2523 North Kedzie in Logan Square at 6:30. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the process. I think everybody out there thinks they could write that one novel or they could write a story. There's a writer inside all of us dying to get out. But how do you actually stick with it and make it happen if it's really what you're supposed to do? We'll ask Debbie some tips on that next. 720 WGN. It's Matt Bubala with you tonight on Radio 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman is back with The Download tomorrow night. Here, same time, same place. Texter from 214 says, Jesus, Matt, your suburbs are showing. Chicago has a great indie bookstore scene. Also, Anderson's and Downers Grove. Of course, Women and Children First, the Anderson's bookstores. Yes, I'm sorry, Debbie. There are a lot of independent bookstores here in Chicago, and I'm going to take a beating over that. And I'm sorry, because it's true there are. And I shouldn't be as upset that the big box stores are necessarily going away if more indie bookstores pop up.
True.
But it's tougher to find a book, when you need it once
right.
in a while.
Like a concrete book.
Yes, to hold in your hand. I mean, you could always download one, but it's harder to get to the places. And it's a sad. And it's also sad that you drive down the street in the morning. You rarely see a newspaper at the end of the driveway. Well, just a newspaper. I live in the Burbs.
Oh, yeah.
And I drive in. And when I leave early in the morning, we have our Chicago Tribune sitting there on the driveway.
On the curb.
But as I drive by, or as I hear the guy, if I'm up early enough, he doesn't stop a lot.
Mm.
There's not a lot of stopping and starting and as it hits the cement. Not enough people are doing that. And I really firmly believe, I hope the newspaper industry is commissioning studies to see kids that start reading newspapers. I guarantee you it would make a difference in their lives versus
I'm sure.
just getting headlines off or not reading news at all because it's not sitting there anymore.
Exactly. I definitely, it will be sorely missed if the newspaper goes away.
It will. I agree. Okay. So the book is called Kevin Kramer Starts on Monday. You were in Chicago. You're working at Second City. You're working jobs in offices, things like that. You felt a yearning to write, though. You're taking classes.
Yes.
You moved to L.A. You follow your husband to L.A.? Or?
Well, first I moved to New York.
Okay.
I got into television production when I was in New York.
Okay.
And then I met my husband. We were working on the same show.
Mm-hmm. And what can we name the show?
Well, we can. It's actually... It's not the old Cosby Show, but it was the new Cosby Show that came out in the 90s.
Isn't this interesting? I hear a second book of workplace stories coming.
Things have taken a turn, haven't
they?
Yes, they
have. That's a lot more interesting to say now than it used to be, isn't it? 5 years ago, I worked on the second.
I know.
5 years ago, it was like, well, it wasn't the Cosby Show. It was like that other Cosby show that nobody really watched. Right. Now it's like, well, I worked on a Cosby Show.
I know.
Like, whoa!
You just have to say the word
Tell
Cosby.
Tell us about that.
You know, honestly... I have nothing to say about it. Nothing bad to say about
sure.
it because he was always very, very nice to us. But we didn't really, you know, we were the staff. It's not like we had a lot of...
Drinking time together.
No, we had zero of that.
Yeah, that's
so
probably good.
He was...
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you'd ever had a drink with him, you'd be looking and thinking that you would automatically, there'd be no way not to stop and think like, wait a minute, I had a drink with him once.
Right. Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I've never had a drink with him.
No.
No.
That's probably for the best.
I agree. So, yes. So we worked on that. And then Patrick, my husband, is a comedy writer, and he got a job in L.A.
Cool.
And Cosby was, it was ending after 4 years. And so I was like, well, either I'm getting, you know, we were going to break up, or we weren't married at that point.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I'll go to L.A.
And he wasn't staying behind for you. He's like, well, I'm going to L.A.
Right.
So.
He definitely was. He was going. So, I mean, it was a great opportunity, and he needed to go.
Sure.
So I was kind of like dragged, kicking and screaming, really.
You did not want to move to L.A.?
No, I did not. I did not at all.
Just because
no.
L.A. is just, you didn't like
I didn't
the idea
get
of it.
You know, like I'd never been there and mm-hmm. I didn't get.
It's a lot different than New York or
it
Chicago.
It is a lot different. And it took a lot. I don't know how you feel about your time in L.A.
I love my time in L.A. because I was right out of college and I was young and my wife and I were dating at the time, but we weren't married yet. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have kids or things like that.
Right.
And I wanted to be there for the industry. And that town
right.
is about nothing but that industry.
It is a completely industry town.
Yeah.
And it took a lot. I don't know why. I mean, it's such a, in a lot of ways, it's great. I mean, the weather is amazing,
yes.
you know, and you can't complain about that. I mean, yeah, you can complain about the traffic, but you can complain about that anywhere.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know what it was. I had like some kind of mental block. But finally, after about 8 years being there, I was like,
it took you 8 years to
it doesn't really speak very well with me, does it, Matt?
Well, it's, I don't know about that, but wow, that's
yeah,
a long time to say, all right, I think I'm in now.
Exactly. It really took that long. So, yeah. So, yeah, so that's how I ended up in LA. And I, you know, was kind of working on, so again, it was always these like, oh, you know, if you work for a studio or a network, they're basically, you know, they're office jobs.
Yeah.
You're creative adjacent.
So you've been working in the industry the whole time. It's just been more office jobs.
Exactly. I mean, instead
of. The back end stuff.
Right. Definitely.
So could we infer that some of these office jobs relate? I mean, the book, you know, I would take it more as just any general office job. But now that I know that there's a little industry background to it, that makes it a little more.
Well, it's a good point. I think. There are certain things about the entertainment industry, as I'm sure you can attest, that are very specific to the entertainment
yeah.
industry. And I think there is some of that in this book. But I think there's also kind of just this the general malaise of kind of working, you know, and it's more of kind of what I found really easy to mine for ideas mm-hmm. was just this weird disconnect between okay, this is how it's going to be, and it's going to be really great. And then it was just really horrible.
Yeah.
And people would refuse to see, you know, this is actually really horrible. It's like,
yeah.
No, it's great. What are you talking about? People just put on this weird persona, and you're kind of like, is this, like, real? Where am I in, like, what reality is
do
this?
Do you think that was different because it was industry, or do you think there's every office in America has something like, well, that's how it is, though. And so it's fine. And we just buy into this insanity that somebody walks in from the outside and goes, what in the world is going on here?
Right. I can't speak for every
yeah.
office in America, but
you could. I mean, you could just go ahead and do that and people take it or leave it.
That?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead. Please. Speaking for every office in America, Debbie.
Speaking for every person in America.
Yes. 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 Make America great again, Debbie. Go ahead and do it.
I think it is. I think it is. it isn't just specific to the entertainment industry. I think it's got to be everywhere.
Well, I think that's a great thing about your book is I've worked in offices over the years and stuff, and you relate to what's in the book. The few that I've been able to read so far, you get a chuckle out of remembering that person in that office or remembering one of your jobs. You're like, God, that one person that just drove us insane. There's always that person that drives us all insane. And then you have to stop and you sit back and you think, wait a minute, was I ever that person?
Right, because probably...
Maybe I was that person. Maybe they all hated me.
That is a weird thing about being in an office, because you could easily be that person.
Yes.
And I could be that person right now, but I just have no idea, because no one will be honest with me and say, like, you know, the reason no one invites you to lunch or, you know, wants you to go to the potluck with them is because you're that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
you're better off not knowing, though, I think, right? Because there could be a, you know, a great, wow, that's good to know. I'm going to work on, but that's probably not how it would work.
No. You would just be anxious all
the
time.
Burn down the office and quit or something, you know, tragic would happen. Probably, right?
Right. It just wouldn't
be. This is why we never confront people and say, here's the thing. You smell like 2 cloves of garlic every single day.
Right.
You can't have that conversation.
Right. All you can do is really pretend that the person doesn't smell like that.
I mean, most likely, I would guess, I don't know the history of the HR departments, mm-hmm. but my guess is like in the late 40s. They're, you know, right when people started becoming human and not just like firing people or drinking or setting them on fire.
Right.
I'm guessing that like somebody said, listen, we can't tell Joe. So let's form a department to find a reason to sort of let him go.
Exactly.
And then nobody has to have, wow, that was an HR decision, you know.
Right.
I'm sorry. I really wish I could have done something. And that whole layer was probably invented to avoid confrontation.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I have a story in my book that is written. It's a series of emails that an HR, you know, kind of manager is writing to the employees about this really insane, like otherworldly thing that has happened at the company. But it's all very much like, do not worry, you know. Everything is just fine. Go about your business as you would normally do.
Now, HR comes up a bit in what little I've read. HR does come up.
Yes.
So did you work in HR or just deal with HR a lot in your life?
You know, quite honestly, I'm not in HR, and I have never had a bad experience with an HR person.
I think HR people might come to the signing tomorrow and think otherwise, and I have a thing or two to say to Debbie Graber.
Well, you know, I would like to tell those people that honestly, I've never had a problem with an HR person, and I feel badly now that I've kind of like used them for my own sort of
personal
terrible
gain
needs.
Here,
exactly.
Yes.
It's really, now I feel bad.
Okay. So we got off topic. We only have a couple minutes left. You're a struggling writer.
Yes.
Suddenly you get little pieces published. You have this book come out.
Yes.
For anybody else out there, I mean, here's the advice part. Give us the advice to anybody that like thinks they're a writer or likes writing, but you know, life gets in the way. You have the real job, you have the mortgage, you have everything else in your life. So it's very tough to say, but I really want to pursue this. I have to set aside this time and try to do it.
Right. I definitely think that's true. I think you just, where there's a will, there's a way. And, you know, don't be afraid of people saying negative things about your writing. Don't be afraid if you take a class and your stuff and people are like, that was the worst story I've ever written, and like rips you up one side and down the other. I mean, you have to believe in yourself. And that's not, you know, if you believe in yourself, your writing, I believe, will improve. I mean, because when I first started writing, believe me, it was not good. I'm not saying it's great now.
But it got published.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody thought it was
worthwhile.
Somebody
thought it was decent.
Yeah.
So, I would say, you know, don't worry about the criticism. Just learn to take what, you know, the people who you admire, take their advice. Don't just write something and be like, here. And then if people are like, well, I didn't really get the character and I didn't think it was this. And then just be like, well, forget it. They didn't get my thing. It's like, no, you got to take some of these people's advice if you trust them.
And you have to, I mean, you kind of have to, it's very hard to do, but you have to embrace.
Yes.
You have to embrace some hate.
Yes, and.
Because,
you have to yes and it.
Yeah, because people are going to not like your stuff, and that's okay.
It's okay.
It's not for everybody.
No.
And it generally always needs some more work.
Well, that's
right?
true. That is definitely true. Even stuff that's published, or you know, even stuff in this book, I'm like, oh,
look back at someone and say, God, I should have done that.
Exactly. You know, so that never goes away.
Can you move on though, or will you come back to that and go, gosh, you know what, if we ever do a second edition, are you gonna be like George Lucas with this and keep changing everything?
I'm really gonna try to move on.
You're gonna move on.
I'm gonna give it my best shot.
What is next on the horizon for Debbie Graber after you promote the heck out of Kevin Kramer starts on Monday?
You know, it's a very good question. I would
there a contractual second book? Because a lot of times with publishers, there's okay, well, we'll pay you money, but here's what you have to do.
I really wish that my publisher was able to afford that kind of second book thing, but No, there's no contract for second book, but maybe I should just talk myself into thinking that there is.
Yes, just make a second book and then show up with it and go, here's the second book you wanted.
Now you need to pay me, you know, X number
of dollars. No, you said, I remember very specifically, we were out with Bill Cosby,
we had a
drinks,
conversation.
And then you said, you might not remember, but that's not my fault. That's the guy that was with us.
Right.
Just give that a shot.
Yeah. That's a great idea, Matt. I'm so glad I came in.
I'm sure you are.
I really, really am.
Debbie Graver wrote, Kevin Kramer starts on Monday. It's a series of short stories that are very funny. You can meet her tomorrow in person, especially if you're an HR person and you want to talk to Debbie. Just go see her in person and
have,
you know,
like HR
have a long
people.
Conversation. Yes. Invite her into
have
your
a long
office.
Long and angry conversation.
Yes. Invite her into your office and then ask her questions like, how are you feeling? Why did you do that? Things like that. City Lit Books, 2523 North Kedzie tomorrow. That's in Logan Square, 6:30 p.m. She might bring it. You promised a cocktail, so you kind of know.
Oh, like, no, I have
show
to
up with
some
a Moscow Mule or something in a mug.
Maybe I can bring some wine.
Okay,
that might be a possibility.
I would call City Lit Books first.
I know,
kind of run that by
they
them.
May not.
They
like
might
that.
Not like that.
They
but,
might.
But you
like,
never know.
No.
You never know. They might say, "Hey, yes."
Stop at a liquor store. Bring in a. Bring
There's
in
a lot
six
of BYOB
pack.
Restaurants in Chicago, right?
That's right.
BYO signing.
Perfect. That sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. Okay. Debbie Graber, tomorrow, City Lit Books. Thank you so much for
Thank
coming in.
Thank you, Matt. This was wonderful.